We're back in our message today. We talked this morning about sometimes how life can be very confusing. We talked about the fact that the Lord's plan sometimes is confusing. We see the written word, but how does that exactly play out in our lives? Oftentimes, it's different. And so we have to trust the Lord. We know that we need to study the word, but even after you've studied the word for years, life can still surprise you. When the Apostle Peter heard the Lord Jesus say that he was going to the cross to die, Peter's response was, "Never, Lord. This cannot happen to you." What did Jesus say to him? "Get behind me, Satan." This is one of the head apostles. "Get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." Peter wanted to be the greatest. But Peter wasn't the only one. John, the apostle, wanted to be the greatest too, and so did Matthew, and so did Mark. They all wanted to be the great one. The Lord has called some people to have great ministry. He's called others to have lesser ministry. That's not our responsibility. We simply fit in where God has called us to go. And we rejoice that we can be used. We said sometimes our circumstances of life can be very confusing. I'm sure Charlie's Kirk wife right now, looking at the fact she thought he's 31. He's healthy. He's a strong man. I'm going to have my husband for another 50 years maybe. That quick, he's gone. That can be very, very confusing. Our Lord wants us to know that no matter what happens in life, we can still have the joy of the Lord in our heart. Yes, we're going to weep, but we're not going to weep like others. When my mother died, I wept. It made me sad. But my mother had received Christ as her Savior about 3 years before she passed, and I had the joy of the Lord in my heart knowing that my mother was home in heaven, seeing her mother, who got saved at the age of 54. Folks, we can always look at what the Lord promised us to have joy in the worst circumstances we can imagine, because we are going to have some of those times. We talked about King David a little bit today. I want to bring up another verse that David mentioned, and this is found in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see it and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him." Some painful circumstances we go into only last for a few hours sometimes. Sometimes they last just a few days. But some of those painful circumstances are going to go on the rest of the days of our life. But in the midst of our pain and our suffering and our sorrow, God can put a new song in our heart. He can have us rejoicing, not because of what we've lost. You know, the Bible says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Job said, "Praise be the name of the Lord." And all that, Job didn't sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Who gave you everything you have? God did. Who gave you your wife or your husband? God did. Who gave you your job and your ability to think and to reason and to move and to do things? God gave it all. And we rejoice every time God gives us something. Boy, this is wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, Lord. Thank you so much. How do we do when He starts to take away? Because everything you've been given is going to be taken away. The only thing that's going to last is your relationship with Jesus Christ. The rest of it, one by one, we're going to lose. How many of you think you're going to be living in the house that you're in now 100 years from today? We're not going to be there, are we? The car you're driving today, that's not going to last you. All the things of life, all the relationships of life, are for a time period. The Lord has given us richly to enjoy it, and so enjoy it while you have it. But realize eventually, I don't care how much money you got in the bank, eventually that's not going to be yours anymore. It's going to be gone. Either you're going to be gone or it's going to be spent before you go. But you're not going to have it. And so some of those painful things, the Lord wants you to know that you can live without those things and even those relationships in life and still rejoice and have the joy of the Lord in your heart. I'm not going to tell you that's always easy, because sometimes it's very, very difficult. But it is possible. Words like joy and joyful and joyfully, rejoice and rejoicing, appear over 400 times in the Scriptures. I think he's got a message for us. He wants his people to be happy. Yes, we're going to go through some times of trial. But when people can see the joy of the Lord in your heart, and they know that your heart is just ripped out with what's happened, but they can see you walking in the joy of the Lord, nothing is going to attract others to him like that. It's easy for a Christian when everything's going good. Even the world can rejoice when everything's going their way. But a Christian has a special ability in the worst of times to draw upon the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ and to rejoice in life even in the midst of loss, serious loss. Our Lord said in John 16, verse 22, he said, so with you, now it is your time of grief. The Lord's going to die the next day after he says this. He knows that they're going to be in grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. Do you know that one of the greatest proofs that the Scriptures really are true and that they really are the Word of God is that you had 11 men, after they saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that gladly gave up their life, well, 10 of them. John lived to old age. But 10 of those 11 died for their faith, and not one of them ever recanted their faith in Christ. Folks, that's an amazing thing. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if you knew you were one of those 10, would you have given up your life for that? It was a lie. You wouldn't do it. But they all did. Our Lord wants us to know that in the worst of times, you can have his joy. As a hospice chaplain and a pastor, I wept with parents who have lost children. I've wept with children who've lost parents. Folks, life is hard. I spent time with young families that the husband had lost his job. And they're wondering, how are we going to make house payments? How are we going to raise our kids? What are we going to do? And I keep pointing them back to the fact that Jesus Christ has promised to meet every need we have. Not every want, but every need. He will take care of us. He is the good shepherd. Our third promise now is found in John 16, verse 22. So with you, now it's your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. No matter what they did to the apostles, they whipped them, they threw them in prison, they took their life, but they couldn't take their joy. And the same can be true for you. Yes, life is hard. There's no getting around it. But you can have the joy of the Lord in every experience. I want to read you just a couple of thoughts here. Before he passed away in 1936, devotional writer S.D. Gordon addressed the difference between joy and happiness, and this is what he wrote. Joy is distinctly a Christian word and a Christian thing. It's the reverse of happiness. Happiness is a result of what happens of an agreeable nature in our lives. Joy has its springs deep down inside, and that spring never runs dry. No matter what happens, only Jesus gives that kind of joy. And C.S. Lewis wrote in one of his books, he said, The believer's joy serves as an endless spring. That spring, however, is not a thing. It's a person. The person of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus said that He is a spring of life. And if we'll come to Him, that spring will never stop coming up into us and through us and refreshing all those around us. The Lord wants you to know, when the Holy Spirit comes in, you have life in you that even the worst of happenings in this world can never take away. He wants you to be one of those Christians that trust Him enough to say, I'm having a very difficult time right now, but Jesus Christ is my strength. And I'm not only going to make it through, I'm going to make it through with the joy of the Lord. Folks, He loves you. In Romans 15, verse 13, but it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may overflow with hope. Folks, when people see you overflowing with hope, especially as they know your heart's breaking, they're going to say, there's something different about this person. I want to know what it is. I want to have it in my life. Because we live in a world where teenagers are committing suicide by the thousands in our nation because they have no hope. They don't know the Lord. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They don't have any purpose in their life. They don't know why they're here. They don't know what they're supposed to do while they're here. And they don't know if there is anything beyond this life. We know all that. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you know why you're here. You're here for God's glory. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You're to be sharing your faith with others. It gives you purpose. And that purpose doesn't wind up when you get to be 70 or 80 or 90. As long as you have breath, as long as you can think, you can bring glory to God. I tell the people in the nursing homes that I go to all the time, there are young staff people here working with you that don't know the Lord. And you do. What should you do? You should tell them, folks, your life's not over because you can't take care of yourself. Your life is over when you stop living for God's glory. You can do exciting things in your old age. I've heard of people that are crippled, can't get out of their house, can't do hardly anything, but they have a phone ministry. And on the phone, they're talking to people all the time about the joy of the Lord. And so the Lord is giving us all kinds of areas in life where we can be busy until we just can't be busy anymore. It never stops. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I'll ask the Father, and He'll give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you, and He'll be in you. We have the Holy Spirit within us. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In John 15, 11, Jesus said, these things I've told you that so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. How many Christians do you know that most of the time, now I don't know anybody all the time, including me, I'm not claiming that, but most of the time, they have joy just flowing out of them. They're excited about life. They're excited about their children. They're excited about their jobs. They're excited about life because they know that they can make a difference. Folks, that's what God wants. He wants you overflowing with hope. Our joy is not something that can be drained because our joy is a person. And that person, Jesus Christ, through the person of the Holy Spirit, is in me. He's never going to leave me. So I can have joy in the most dire circumstances. In John chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. He's talking about the well of water. But whoever drinks of the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I don't know if you've ever seen a spring, but where we live in St. Charles, just down the other side of Prior Road, is a spring. And that spring is constantly bringing up fresh, wonderful cold water 365 days a year, every hour of every day. It's not a huge spring, it's just a little one. But folks, you can go there anytime you want to. You get a really good drink of water. And that's what God says you and I should be. We should be the people that when people get heartache and trouble, they can come to us and we can give them the words of life. But that's why you need to study the Word, so that when people do come to you, you're prepared to give them those good words that can help them. All around us, people are suffering. Our joy is not something that can be replaced. It's in us, and it's not leaving. All we have to do is avail ourselves of it. In Isaiah 33, verse 6, this is one that we memorized a few years ago. And if you've never really memorized this verse, I would just advise you, do it. He, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the sure foundation for your time, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. When I was a boy, every place I would go in Saginaw, and I wasn't even a Christian at the time, but I can remember people saying, now there goes a God-fearing man. There goes a God-fearing woman. And a lot of people thought, what does that mean? Because I didn't know what it meant either. Does that mean they're afraid of God? What it means is they have a reverential awe for who God is and what God can do. The Proverbs 31 woman, if you've never looked at Proverbs 31 very much, the Bible talks about the woman that fears the Lord. And it says she looks at the future and she laughs. Why can that woman look at the future and laugh? She knows the end of the story. You and I should be able to look at our future and laugh. Are you going to have trouble? Sure we are. Am I going to get to the point where I can't hardly shovel my own sidewalk? I sure am if I live long enough. But I can still look past that and I can laugh. It's not funny not to be able to do some of the things you want to do. But I'm looking beyond that. Yes, it's going to be inconvenient for a few years, but pretty quick, the Bible says I'm going to jump like a calf let out of the stall in the springtime. I haven't jumped like that in years. I used to be able to jump pretty good, but not much anymore. But I want to tell you, I'm going to. And I can look at my future and I say, yep, a few more years of trouble, and then I'm all done with trouble. Folks, it's a joy that just can't be taken. So what we need to do is not ignore the source of our joy. So many Christians forget what the source is. They'll say, the source of my joy is that I can play football or basketball or I can play golf. That's my joy. But folks, that shouldn't be our joy. We should enjoy those things, but that shouldn't be our joy. Our joy should be our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because all the rest of that, I don't play basketball hardly at all anymore. I might take a couple shots, but I don't play. You know why? Because every time I would take a quick turn, something's going to give now. That's all there is to it. I don't play baseball anymore for the same reason. I still golf a little bit, but the time's going to come when I can't do that anymore either. Folks, I don't rue that. I don't say, oh, this is awful. It's wonderful because I've had 70 plus years to do all those things I love doing. Pretty quick, I won't be able to do any of that stuff, but that's okay because we're on our way to heaven. Our Lord wants us not to look at the things we're losing and get bitter. He wants us to look past those things to the things that are coming so that we stay refreshed and refreshing. You and I are meant to make a difference in other people's lives. And when they see you rejoicing in the Lord in the midst of your trouble, you can't affect them any more than that. And then they're going to say, why? Why are you happy? Your husband just passed away. Why are you happy? If you watch Charlie Kirk's wife, I don't know if you've observed her at all, but she's walking in peace. I'm not saying her heart's not breaking silently and she's crying when she's by herself. But when she's before others, man, she is joyful. She's giving thanks to the Lord. I just can't tell you how encouraging that is to me to see a young woman with two little ones rejoicing in the worst time she could possibly probably have. Folks, that's encouraging. Our Lord wanted the 12 not to let circumstances shut him out. The same thing is true for us. He does not want us to allow circumstances of life to shut off the flow of joy. Because he's the source. Not the good job, not the good pay, not the benefits, not the relationships we have with husband, wife, children, because all that changes all the time. He wants to be the source. In John 16:25, Jesus, though that I've been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you'll ask in my name. I'm not saying that I'll ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father. The Lord wants you to know that he went back to the Father to be an intercessor for you. Whether you know it or not, Jesus' ministry didn't stop when he left this world. He's praying for you. The Holy Spirit also is praying for you. Jesus tossed out some enticing incentives, hoping his disciples would always be talking about him as the center of their lives. As long as the center is solid in your life, regardless of what happens out here in all the rest of your life, if the center is centered on Christ, you're going to have that new song in your heart. You're going to be able to rejoice in the Lord. But if your center moves from a relationship with Christ to your job being the most important, or your fame being the most important, or your beauty being the most important, you're going to lose your joy. But if you can keep Christ right in the middle, life's going to be wonderful for you. You're going to be able to go through this life maintaining constant communion with the Lord. You're going to be in fellowship with him. You're going to have an exciting ministry all the days of your life, touching other lives for his glory, and you're going to be able to rejoice regardless of the circumstance. That same night that Jesus prayed with his disciples and set up the communion service, that same night, Luke chapter 22, verse 39 went on as well. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives. This is the last night on the earth for him. And his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you'll not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." What was the cup Jesus wanted the Father to take? It was going to the cross. It was bearing your sin and my sin on himself. It was having a wall between him and his Father that had never existed. I praise the Lord that Jesus didn't stop with, "If it's possible, take this cup away." He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." How many of you are glad that Jesus Christ went to the cross? I praise the Lord that he did. Without that, I would have absolutely no hope of eternal life. Folks, only his blood can wash away sin. There's nothing else that can replace that. In John 16, verse 29 again, his disciples said to him, and this is where we want to be careful where our strength is at. We don't want our strength in us. or even in our knowledge of the Word of God. We want our strength being the Lord Himself. Because the disciples thought here they got it all figured out now. Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see and you know all things, and you don't even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You'll leave me all alone. Yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble. But take heart, I will overcome the world." The Apostle Peter said, "Though everybody else forsakes you, I never will." He was pretty confident. Peter was a strong, strong man. He had a strong will. But when Judas betrayed Jesus Christ, and the soldiers took Jesus Christ three times that night, Peter denied even knowing the Lord. Our confidence is not to be in ourselves. Be very careful here. I have what I consider a pretty strong faith, but that faith can be shaken to the roots. We have to constantly take time with the Lord. The more trouble you have, the more necessary it is to spend time with the Lord. Instead of sleeping like the apostles did three times when Jesus said, "Pray," instead of sleeping, they should have been praying. They should have been seeking God to keep them strong. But they didn't. Our Lord tells us, how often are we supposed to pray? Praying always, constantly in prayer. How many come close to that? I'm far short of that myself. I got to admit it, I don't pray all the time. But we should. Because we constantly need help. In John 16:33, I want to read this one more time. Jesus said, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world." Jesus' disciples did have trouble. I mean a lot of trouble. 10 of the 11 were put to death. The one that wasn't put to death was boiled in oil and made a slave on the Isle of Patmos. And so all of them had plenty of trouble. But they all, after their failure here, they all kept their eyes on the Lord from that point on, and they lived joyful lives in the midst of all the suffering and all the sorrow that they went through. Our Lord wants us to do exactly the same thing. Jesus said, "I'll see you again. Your hearts will rejoice again." Sometimes when we get hurt deeply, emotionally, we think there'll never be joy again. But that's a lie of Satan. The Lord says, "Your heart will rejoice again. No one will rob you of your joy. Ask and you'll receive. I've overcome the world." When life gets messy, and life will get messy, remember Romans 8:28. Again, if you've never memorized Romans 8:28, you need to. We know, it isn't that we think, we know based on the Word of God that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. I want to encourage you, find your strength in God. Don't try to find your strength in yourself because you don't have it and neither do I. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. He'll not only carry us through, we'll be jumping for joy as we go through.